Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast Between the Sticks. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the spinning voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Good morning, Matthew.
How are we?
I am feeling fit. I'm feeling well. I'm well. How are you?
It's the next venture in the fit and healthy lifestyle of Richard Lee.
Well, yeah. So, right. I spin. I've bought a bike and I set it in front of my TV. And while we're watching games, and we're because it sounds like we kind of live together. We don't live together. But while I'm watching games and we're watching them separately, I tend to spin while I'm watching the games, and that allows me to send messages that I may send, or it allows me to make phone calls. Although I've realized I struggle to make a phone call and spin at the same time. I get out of breath very, very quickly. But the whole thing is, like, this whole 10,000 steps idea, just trying to lose a bit of weight. Because I've realized since I retired, it's just creeping up on me a bit. Even though I'm quite healthy, I think I carbs are at a minimum, and you know, I don't really have dinner a lot of the time, yet the weight just keeps on creeping up.
Don't have dinner. That sounds conducive to a healthy lifestyle, not having dinner. Spinning, by the way. Are you aware of the concept of spinning?
I'm not, no.
Right. So you just said there a couple of times, yeah, I go spinning when I'm watching games.
Well, that's what it's called, right? We would always go for a spin. When I was at Watford, Brentford, wherever it was, we would always have a spinning session the day after a game.
But that is quite intense. No, spinning is quite hardcore.
All right. Well, yeah, I'm definitely not doing hard. I barely break a sweat, I'll be honest. It's more, I'll sit there for 40 minutes and it's just gently moving my legs while watching a game of football.
So what happened to the desk cycle pedal thing?
Yeah, that didn't
work out. That bite the dust, did it?
That didn't work out. I found that the angle wasn't great for my knee. Got some severe pain. So I am not using that anymore. I'm now doing the bike. I am doing some walking from time to time. And I have a little circuit that I do at home where the gym's not open at the moment. So I'm having to use the weights that I've got at home to do a little circuit just to keep me going. So normally it's a circuit plus a spin. And while I'm doing it, I'm able to send texts, make phone calls and continue to work.
What about the steps? How are they going? How's the route to Dubai going?
No, not great. I try and aim for 10,000 a day. I normally hit between 7 and 8, which is still a vast improvement on last year.
You want to get out with me, mate? Exploring the area that we live in?
Well, look, as we've touched on, you've now moved into the place I was in previously, and I do look out the window, and the amount of times I see you trotting by, it's very, very strange. You walk more than anybody I've ever met.
10,000 steps, mate. I learned from the master.
There you go. And you are looking in fine shape, Mr. Beadle.
Thank you. Right, we've got some correspondence,
okay,
Richard. This was sent in to us by PHH at PH Beauty Man.
Oh.
Was this sent in by you?
It wasn't, but that's a hell of a email address.
Good question. This particular person has asked from the US again. There we go. Australia and the US, mate. I'll tell you what, does anybody in the UK listen to this podcast? They've asked, which EPL or top championship teams will be looking for a new keeper in the summer? Big US fan of Ethan Horvath at Club Brugge in Belgium and Zach Steffen at Manchester City. Would love your take on both of those, pros and cons.
So it's a great question. I think that obviously it's a world that I know very well from the work I do away from this podcast that we do. And it's so much that it depends on. So you look at it at the moment, a lot of teams are reasonably happy with their number ones, and most have got number twos they're quite happy with. It's such a difficult question to ask because a lot will depend on who gets promoted, who gets relegated. A lot will depend on contract situations, who's got a year left of their contract, for instance, and realistically, the club aren't going to want them to run it down and leave for free. So there's a lot behind the scenes that people don't necessarily see. And also, you've then got the stuff that's going on internally at the clubs. Are there goalkeepers that they want to promote and get into the first team as soon as possible, i.e. Robert Sanchez? We couldn't have, for instance, seen that one this time last year, because as well as he was doing in the 23s there or on loan at Rochdale or wherever else he's been, Brighton knew just how good he was, but a lot of the outside world didn't. So there may have always been a want for him to come through at some point, and that naturally will then impact those above them. So I know that doesn't necessarily answer the question in terms of the specific clubs, but this is where I find it so fascinating. It's just a massive merry-go-round that tends to start, and the rumours start. In fact, a lot of the rumours have already started, the likes of Sam Johnson being rumoured to be going here, there and everywhere. I see Nick Pope forever being linked with Tottenham and whoever else. So the rumours are starting now. A bit more action starts to happen in May, June, and of course July, August, it all goes a bit crazy. In terms of the second part of the question, I won't comment too much on Ethan Horvath. I don't know too much about him. I've seen bits and pieces, but certainly Zach Steffen is one that I had a good eye on when he was in America and really liked what I saw. And that's only grown since then. Certainly the games that he's played for City, the few games that he's played so far for City, I think have been very impressive, I think, in terms of his build, his shape, excellent, powerful, distribution's very good, mentally seems like he's very calm, he's getting the best possible grounding that he could get, the best education with Xavi, and of course, working under Edison, it's fantastic. So he is one that I'm hugely excited for. And I think if you're obviously from America, I can see him being the American goalkeeper for the next 10 years easily.
Okay, if you'd like to get in touch with us, very easy to do so on Twitter at GKUnion, hello at goalkeepersunion.net, or drop us a WhatsApp on 07503673020. On with the show.
Let's do it.
Okay, not a whole load of action to get through today, Richard, so this will be quite quick.
Short and sharp.
One bit of Premier League action that we can just recap on. Leeds 3, Southampton 0, and a clean sheet for Melier, Ian Melier, who has now played more Premier League minutes than any other player under the age of 21 this season, and set a new Premier League record in becoming the first goalkeeper under 21 to record 8 clean sheets in a single season.
Credit to him. I think after the last couple of games, we touched on the fact that he had the tough game against Arsenal, which of course he got a little bit of stick for. And then the last one when we felt incredibly sorry for him, the own goal, which there's just nothing he could have done about that. But again, to show the maturity that he's shown to step out again, look very good, very competent at the age that he is. Look, huge, huge credit to him, because it's not an easy thing to do, having all that on your shoulders. And in fairness, with each of these tough moments that he's going through, no doubt he'll be growing through all of that. And it's so exciting. If you are a Leeds fan, or just a fan of his in general, to be 20 years old and to have done what he's done, you do wonder if he can keep up this level of intensity and continue to build his game, just where might he be at the age of 26, 27? Hugely exciting. The only other moment in that game I just wanted to touch on was the free kick, which was scored. And I think, look, I'm quite a big one on if the ball goes in your side, ordinarily you hold your hands up and say, yeah, I could have done a bit better. And I do feel that would have been the case here. I thought that Alex McCarthy was fine for the majority, but I think this one, whether it was a case of him expecting to go up, down, over the wall, whether positionally he wasn't quite where he needed to be, but I've got no doubt that he would have been a little bit disappointed to see it nestle in at the corner that he was protecting.
Okay, one bit of Champions League action I think we can discuss as well. Borussia Mönchengladbach 0, Manchester City 2. Now, since Porto's Luis Diaz scored against City in the opening 15 minutes of this season's Champions League campaign, they've yet to concede another goal. That is more than 10 hours football in the competition. Edison playing all but one game, the other game, Mr. Zach Steffen.
Fantastic. I mean, look, we talked about the number of clean sheets that he's kept in the Premier League, and Man City right now, they're a steam train. It's phenomenal. Edison didn't have a great deal to do in this, but I was impressed that late on in the game, crucial save really, you know, it was sloppy from City in the last minute of added on time to give the ball away in the way that they did. Obviously bearing down on Edison's goal. Of course, he took up quite an advanced position, which he tends to do. He comes down the line that little bit further. But because of the speed of reactions he's got, made himself big, got down quick to his left. For him, a reasonably comfortable save. But I think the fact that he has come down the line, as imposing as he is, he made it that little bit more difficult. And in the end, kept the clean sheet, and means that it should be quite a comfortable game for them at home.
Perfect. Well, no need for a break, Richard. Straight into this.
Indeed, it is time for the Championship rundown, and we start at St Andrews. Birmingham going down 3-1 to Norwich. Neil Etheridge saving a good penalty here. He did actually give away the penalty. One of those situations, one-on-one, he's come out, spread well, wasn't able to hold onto the ball. Now, how often do we see that when the ball breaks and the temptation is to go straight after the second ball? Because again, you're slightly disorientated, you can't necessarily see who's around you, and of course, your instinct will be try and gather the ball as quickly as you can. He did that. Unfortunately, gave away a penalty in doing so, but certainly made an excellent save from the penalty with his legs. Wasn't enough though. Norwich looking very good at the moment, and Pukki in particular so clinical. 3-1 to them. Derby winning again, this time 2-0 against Huddersfield. An interesting point in this one was a save made by David Marshall, which I flagged to you actually, and you ended up putting up on Twitter, I see. Lee Hendry was doing some of the punditry on this and said that it was a comfortable height for the keeper, and it was one of these again, which for me, I thought David Marshall did very, very well. good decision to retreat to the line. And the shot wasn't one you would expect. You probably would have thought it would have gone a bit lower, but the fact that he set in the way he did allowed him to get up to his top right and tip it over the bar. I thought it was a very, very good save. I think the comment was, yeah, good hype for a keeper, and I know that got a bit of traction on Twitter. Middlesbrough went down 3-1 to Bristol City. Big win for Bristol City, kind of under their new boss, Nigel Pearson, sort of. He was up in the stands. No chance here for Bettinelli on any of the three goals, but he did make a good save down to his left to keep out Famara Jeju. Have I pronounced that correctly, Matthew?
You've got that right, yes.
Excellent. Luton drew with Millwall 1-1. An excellent save from Bajakowski in this one. For those that haven't seen it, ball broke to the edge of the box. It's whipped to the top left-hand corner, the right-hand side of Bajakowski. And he got himself back to his right, because he was moving to his left, back to his right in order to tip it over the bar. It was more the fact for me, I don't think he's able to see this ball till very late. So he showed brilliant athleticism and reactions in order to get back to his right. And it was a fantastic save. And in the end, helped earn a point for his team. Rotherham 0, Nottingham Forest 1, and an excellent win for Wickham, beating Reading 1-0. Really unusual goal here. And at first, you look at it and you think it might be a keeper caper. I know we're going to touch on this shortly, but I certainly don't think it was. I think it was the striker nipping in, getting a foot to it, and putting it into the goal to give them a vital 3 points. Moving on to Wednesday. Barnsley were victorious against Stoke, 2-0. Great goal from distance, the first one. Angus Gunn at full stretch couldn't quite get the step in, and it beat him on his left-hand side. Brentford were winners 3-0 against Sheffield Wednesday. Swansea winning 1-0, another clean sheet for Freddie Woodman. Blackburn went down 3-2 to Watford. A couple of interesting moments in this game. A good save from Dan Backman late on with the score at 3-2 down to his right-hand side. And Kaminski, I felt very, very sorry for Kaminski in this one. A long ball over the top, and for me, the ball just doesn't bounce. This is one of those where I think it looks pretty poor, but when you actually look at it again, the height at which the ball's dropping, it should bounce higher than it does. If it does, I think Kaminski comes out and is able to take the ball at a much higher point. In the end, the bounce is so dead that the player gets there ahead of him, loops it over his head, puts it into an empty goal, and no doubt he'll get a little bit of criticism. But this is one, again, we're going to touch on shortly, I am sure. Bournemouth 1, Cardiff 2, 6 wins on the trot for Cardiff, 6 wins on the trot for Dylan Phillips, who again made a couple of excellent saves, one down to his left, really sharp save with the score at 2-0. And again, Asmir Begovic with a very good save with his feet. One of those where he's almost going the wrong way, gets a left foot to it and manages to put it round the post. Wasn't enough though, as Cardiff ran out 2-1 winners. And Preston 0, QPR 0. Two good performances from the goalkeepers here. Senny Dieng with an excellent save to his right hand side. Very sharp, good reflexes. And Daniel Everson with one of the best spreads of the season, the player bearing down one-on-one, and he's come out and made himself so big in order to save it with his right foot. And actually, we've got a little bit of correspondence on this, because I did text his goalkeeper coach just to say what a fantastic save it was. His goalkeeper coach, Mike Pollitt, of course, and he did respond, Matthew. Do you want to hear it?
Of course I do, yeah.
Okay, I prefer a little bit more excitement, but it's okay. Okay, so I did text Mike Pollitt just to say what a fantastic save from Everson, the way in which he spread. He came back and said, extra pleasing as we did a one-on-one angle session on Monday, making decisions on what type of save to make, i.e. stay and react or close the ball. Always say with the pace the ball comes, you will never get your hand there when you can open your foot up or spread. Plus the ball goes further away with your foot than with one hand. Plus I think the Danish handball days come in handy too. Which is interesting, actually. The Danish handball, for anyone that hasn't seen Danish handball, of course, Peter Schmeichel, well known for some of the techniques he used, but the bravery and the way in which you do come out and spread, there's still so much that can be taken from that, I think, with goalkeepers these days. Certainly when we've had a lot of discussions recently about bravery, but when you come out like that, the impact that must have on a striker when they see a goalkeeper coming out like that so big, it does make it that little bit more difficult.
Very good, Richard. A few to pick up on there. We'll start at Blackburn. A pitch, of course, Ewood Park, that you played on. Now, when you first tried to describe this to me, I thought you were bonkers, because I thought you were saying the ball actually bounced too high, but you're not. You're saying the ball didn't bounce high enough.
Yeah, I just think the ball's coming from a great height, and it's one of them when it's bouncing just outside the area. As a goalkeeper, you have to hold back, wait for the height of the bounce, then of course you come and attack it at the highest point, knee up, make sure that you go through whoever's in front of you and you make the catch. So you can see that Kaminski is there, he's stood, he's waiting. It's not a case of him not wanting to engage, it's a case of him waiting for how high the ball's going to bounce before he comes, engages, and takes it at the highest point. But for me, the ball just doesn't bounce anywhere near as high as it should, which I think will be a mixture of the pitch itself, the fact that I'm sure it's rained up there. It always rains in Blackburn. Certainly the season I was there, it rained every day. So I'm sure that the pitch is a little bit sodden. So then for the ball to bounce, to read that bounce is so difficult. And the moment it doesn't bounce, of course, it then favours the attacker who gets there first. And anybody watching that, naturally your immediate instinct is going to be, well, that's a mistake. But for me, I don't think it is.
Okay, and the game at Adams Park between Wickham and Reading, Rafa Cabral. Now, like you said, we were going to use this for a keeper caper. It wasn't until I'd noticed that Fred Onyedinma had been credited with the goal. I thought it was an error, but he did just nip inside, didn't he? I thought it was the spin of the ball that had somehow caught Cabral out, but Onyedinma got there first.
Yeah, exactly that. I think that this is where, when you've only got one camera angle, it can be so deceptive. Because you see it from the one camera angle, and of course, it doesn't look great. But I'm sure if we see this from another angle, the player gets there. I'm not going to try and say the name because I know I'll struggle. The player gets there before Raphael and just manages to get probably the outside of a boot, I'm guessing, in order just to force it into the corner. And what a huge result that is for Wickham.
Yeah, big result for Wickham. I have one more question for you. This was the game between Derby and Huddersfield Town. It was the second goal scored by Martin Waghorn. Now, I noticed that Ryan Schofield was quite advanced. Waghorn scored from about 20 yards or so, had a couple of covering defenders, and also the goal scored by Naki Wells in the game between Middlesbrough and Bristol City, a win for Bristol City. I think it was the third goal scored by Naki Wells. He took quite a heavy touch. Marcus Bettinelli came out, was also advanced, but Naki Wells was able to finish. Just your opinion on those two goals, please.
Yeah, I think it's a legitimate question. And the truth is, I don't think there's necessarily a right or wrong here. And I think this comes down to preference, because I think we've just credited Edison with a very similar thing, where he's decided to come that bit further down the line, and he has made a very good save in doing so. Effectively, this is what both Bettinelli and Ryan Schofield have done. They've decided to come down the line, and they're both big goalkeepers, and use that size in order to make the save. Now, different goalkeeper coaches will say different things, because you could argue, well, if they'd have been that little bit deeper, and certainly in Ryan Schofield's one, had he been that bit deeper, does that give him more chance of making the save? Well, once again, the whole situation changes. For all we know, the striker then takes an extra touch, bears down, and has even more of the goal to aim at. It was a fantastic finish. And similarly to Marcus Bettinelli. And I just think that, again, without knowing the exact stats, and this is the only thing that's ever going to prove it, and even this won't necessarily prove it, because certain goalkeepers will prefer doing one thing as opposed to the other. But this is where we almost need to know, what are the stats? What is the probability if you come out 15 yards and look to spread in that way, as opposed to maybe staying 4 or 5 yards and then engaging a little bit later? And until we have that data, which I don't know if anyone has that data. If you do, by all means, let us know. I think it's so hard to make a judgment on whether you should stay or whether you should advance at that point.
Right, best of the rest from the EFL, Richard.
Fantastic.
Ben Garrett and Ben Amos with a pair of palms onto the bar in Burton's big win at Charlton. Garrett dealing with Jaden Stockley's header and Amos stretching to meet a Danny Rowe shot.
Brilliant saves, both of them. Both very different, although they both had a similar result. Now, Ben Garrett, I mean, what a save that is. Retreating to his line. Good palm up onto the bar, but it was a speed of reflexes to get back to his right and to actually get the angle, because from there you can't parry it round the post. You're not going to be able to get enough power. So that was the only thing he could do, was parry it upwards and to get it onto the bar in the way he did. Superb. And Ben Amos was superb as well. The way in which he's moved his feet, the technique he's adopted as well. You can't go with your other hand in this situation. You have to go with your top hand. This is that. I know we talk about top hand, lower hand so often, but this is one of those situations where there is no other alternative than going with your top hand. The way in which he's moved to his left, couple of steps, managed to explode off that left leg, good right hand, and to get it up onto the bar, brilliant save. Of course, in the end, to no avail, but that certainly doesn't take away from just how good this save was.
Right at the death drama at the Kazan, where Portsmouth beat Oxford, Craig McGillivray making a name for himself yet again with 2 match-winning stops from Olamide Shadipo and Elliot Moore. Also a good stop earlier on in that one from Jack Stevens.
Yeah, to touch on the Jack Stevens one, for me, this was just pure bravery. You know, we talk about coming out and spreading and crunching at feet, and certainly got his rewards. Excellent save this was. But as you say, in the end, it was to no avail. There was a couple of very good saves late on from Craig McGillivray. Was certainly rewarded and obviously got his clean sheet. The one to his left in particular, more just the fact that he got up and got it away from danger. You know, I think that he was always in control of the situation, but it's then one, what do you decide to do? Do you catch it? Do you parry it? And it was the fact that he parried it and parried it wide, parried it well. And in the end, it was vital.
Christy Pym of Peterborough, no clambering back to his line, this time with an excellent reach to parry a Panucha Kamara effort. Not too dissimilar, this one, from the JoJo Wallacott save we discussed on Monday, only the other side.
Yeah, true. And for me, this is a case of getting back on your line, getting set. Now, it wasn't quite the contact he was probably expecting, which did give him time to react. I think if it's a more pure contact, I don't think you get time to react to this. But this is that drill that every goalkeeper's done hundreds of times, where the ball's dropped in the corner and you need to get there as quick as you possibly can. And the speed he moved to his right and then was able to kind of scoop it out from pretty much on the goal line. Brilliant, brilliant save. And again, very vital.
Nathan Baxter spilling and then poking to give Crewe a chance of an opener, which they took through Omar Beckles in Accrington's defeat at Crewe. And Alex Palmer apoplectic after being caught out on a back pass, which rudely ricocheted off him and straight to Brett Pittman. He did, however, make amends with important saves to maintain a draw for Lincoln as they hosted Swindon.
Yeah, he's had a couple of moments lately, Alex Palmer. Look, it's fair to say he's had a brilliant season. He's a huge reason as to why they are where they are. And actually, this goes back to a piece that we've wrote recently. In fact, I can't really say we because you've written it, but very much on this, which we'll be releasing very soon one way or another. But we touched on the fact that so many goalkeepers do play in the way that an Alex Palmer plays, and 99.9% they do it very, very well. But obviously when you don't, and when you get caught out, more often than not, unfortunately, it does end up in the back of the net. But for me, the bit that I was most pleased with here for Alex Palmer was the fact that he's bouncing back very quickly. And you're right, a couple of excellent saves again. And, you know, he's certainly showing that he's got the mentality to play much higher.
Finally, in League One, great to see Wigan stopper Jamie Jones join in with the celebrations at their last-minute winner away at Bristol Rovers. Brilliant that, just to see him run the full length of the pitch to celebrate with the players and the staff. And in League Two, we called him out on Keeper Capers, didn't we? So it's good to see Mark Oxley climb like the King of Asgard to deny Forest Green's Odin Bailey in a shock win for Southend at the New Meadow.
It was, yeah, very good save and huge win. Again, there's some real surprising results in League One and League Two at the moment, and this was certainly a huge surprise given how well Forest Green have done of late, but it was largely thanks to this excellent save.
Not a bad goal in that one either, Nathan Ferguson.
Oh, unbelievable. Like, and no real backlift, like two steps, and he just fired it top corner. Lewis Thomas diving to his right, no chance. Phenomenal goal. I know they were saying on Sky Sports News whether it was wind assisted or what, because it almost looked like it was a creation, like it was... like computers do
creation.
What's the word? Like it was like, what do you call it?
What do
like,
you mean?
Like it was almost fake. I don't know. Come on, you know what I mean. What? You know, like when you see these things, like these, I don't know, you'll see Ronaldo, whoever it is, kind of clip it, hits the bar, comes back to him, kicks it, hits the bar, hits the bar, hits the bar. I've seen stuff like that and you know it's not a real football.
Like doctored, you mean? Like
yeah.
Like an image that's been doctored.
Like a video that's been, yeah, like they've kind of taken it and sped it up a little bit, like it's not real life.
Okay.
Look, we're really going off tangent here.
Edited.
Edited, there's a word, CGI? Have I just made that up? I don't know, I'm just saying letters now.
Okay.
Fine.
Liam Roberts, hugely unfortunate to end up on the losing side in what turned out to be a 1-0 home loss for Walsall against Newport. Three good saves from Roberts there and four good saves from Lawrence Vigouroux, but also to no avail. Leighton Orient losing 1-0 also to Bradford. Ollie Crankshaw, however, brilliantly denied by Vigouroux with the scores still level at the time.
Yeah, fantastic save. He's having an excellent season, it's fair to say, Lawrence Vigouroux. And yeah, brilliant save to his right-hand side. Got himself to the near post. Good set position and the speed at which he reacted to his right-hand side. Very, very good.
Couple more to go. Glenmorris bamboozled by a bit of ball movement in Crawley's defeat at Grimsby. Or was he? Philip Morais with the strike.
Yeah, it looked it. Again, it's so difficult when you get one camera angle. But for me, it did look like there was movement on the ball for the fact that his reaction was as late as it was, because he's seen it the whole way. The conditions looked dire, to be honest. But it was that last second where suddenly he's had to explode to his right to try and keep it out. So it wasn't like he's gone to do the scoop and miss-scooped almost. It's the fact that he's then tried to change what he did to get down to his right. So I can't help but feel that there was quite a bit of movement on this.
Also caught out was Carl Leatheran, now following the Goalkeepers Union on Twitter. So thank you for that, Mr. Leatheran. Lovely to see. And just letting Brandon Thomas Asante's 20-yarder slip through his grasp. The curse of the GKU strikes again.
I think it does. But I say that, and this is, again, probably similar to the previous strike we just spoke about, that little bit of movement. And look, I feel like I've let in this goal so many times. When you're going down to your left and it's a bit of a knuckleball, it dips on you a tiny bit and it doesn't need to dip on you a lot. And before you know it, it has escaped your grasp. So one that he'll be frustrated by, no doubt. But at the same time, it is a difficult one. And we'll see this type of goal scored again and again and again.
Okay, Richard, that's it. A couple of penalties this week as well that we've seen, namely the one that springs out is Kiefer Moore, top bins against Bournemouth. No goalkeeper on the universe is saving that, mate.
Okay, I'm not going to agree with that comment, but it is a fantastic penalty. This for me, and look, I know we talk a lot about others who take penalties, and I won't name names, but very little skill in certain penalties that are taken by certain people. But this is a fantastic penalty. To be able to put it in that top corner in the way that he does so consistently, it's so difficult. Because I think even if you go early, it's going to be very difficult.
So can any goalkeeper save that?
I mean, look, if you were to go really early and to read it, at some point someone will save it. At some point he'll change it up. But I think that you'd have to go so early with the precision and power that he's got.
Okay, well, we said it would be quick, Richard, and it is indeed. Before we go, just a quick word to Alisson, Liverpool goalkeeper, Mr. Alisson Becker. We are thinking of you, boss. Stay strong. Richard, thank you.
Thank you, Matthew.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast, Between the Sticks. Keepers.
Oi!